Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13.
Come on, bring the heat, bro.
Amen.
Come on.
We're going to bring it.
Come on, bro. I'm waiting, bro. Come on.
Matthew chapter 13. Now, last week, we had a lesson called The Miraculous Catch.
Oh, yeah.
And if you notice in your bulletins today, that's actually the title of the article. And we're going to stay on this theme of the miraculous catch for a few weeks. Because, you know, that's what we want to have here in Chicago.
Yeah.
We want, through God, to have a miraculous catch.
Right.
Certainly there's a lot of people out there that need to be caught. Amen?
Yeah.
And brought on in.
Come on.
Now, you know, it's interesting. When someone goes fishing, they know what they caught.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know exactly what you catch when you go fishing. Recently, Pat Bouillet has been going out fishing with his youngest son, Kwani. And I understand that some more people joined them this morning. Now, whenever they go fishing, they've always got a story to tell when they get back. They're going to tell you who caught the first fish. And then they're going to tell you who caught the most fish. You with me here? Then they're going to tell you the size, color, and any distinctive markings on the fish. Then they're probably going to go ahead and tell you, well, about their fishing rods, their poles, the kind of bait they use. They'll even tell you about the weather. And don't forget to ask them about the food and conversation they had. They'll tell it to you in detail. That's the way it is when you go fishing. Well, Jesus said, I'm calling you to no longer fish just for fish, but to fish for men.
Come on.
So we got to ask ourselves, do we talk about fishing for men the same way we do about fishing for fish? Because that is the analogy Jesus was drawing for us. In fact, in Matthew 13, we're going to look at a parable in verse 47. The parable of the net. See, Jesus would often speak in parables. This was an earthly story. Something that we on earth understand. And then he would draw spiritual conclusions. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Because see, Jesus came to say, you guys aren't seeing the spiritual world. You're not seeing the spiritual truth. And so, let me give you an example of something you understand, and let me try to help you just a little bit. Amen? So let's read Matthew 13, verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down in the lake and caught all kinds of fish. Now, you know, something Pat's been teaching me lately about fishing, because I'm not an avid fisher of fish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I got to kind of learn about it so I can understand what it means to relate that to fishing for people. Because I am an avid fisher of people, amen? As disciples need to be, amen? He said, you know what? It's illegal to fish with nets. For us to just go out there and try to fish with nets, it's actually illegal to just go out there and fish. You got to have a license to fish. And they watch you. And I said, well, Pat, why is it illegal to fish with nets? He said, well, man, if you use nets, if everybody went out there with their nets, they'd catch all the fish in the lake and they'd be gone.
No. I didn't know that.
It's a lot easier to catch with nets.
Yeah.
You catch a lot more fish. And so, you're using poles. We're using poles. They didn't have poles back then. They used nets.
Yep.
And the other great lesson there is, you got to have a partner.
Yeah.
Back then, they fished in partners, in pairs.
Right.
You know, James and John went fishing, and they would each grab their end of the net, and they'd pull in those fish. So, that's a good lesson right there. In this net, which Jesus is saying represents the kingdom of heaven, were all kinds of fish.
All right.
Wow.
Now, Don't mistake it here. It says kingdom of heaven. It doesn't mean in heaven. Let's read on. You'll see what I'm talking about. When it was full, okay, the net with all the fish in it, the fishermen pulled it ashore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but the bad, well, they threw away the bad. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Wow. Wow.
There's a nice little sermon from the Lord right there. Hey guys, let me teach about the kingdom. Oh, this sounds like it's going to be awesome. Yeah, the kingdom, it's like a net. Let down, catch all kinds of fish. Oh, that sounds awesome. And you know, but then the angels are going to come, like the fishermen do when they get a big catch, and they're going to look through. And even though there are all kinds of fish, in the end, it only matters two kinds.
Yep.
The good and the bad. The good, well, they're going to keep the good. That's what fishermen do. The bad, throw them in the fire. No use for them. And then Jesus says, that's how it's going to be at the end of the age. This time, I know it's not talking about the kingdom of heaven, meaning already in heaven. All kinds of fish are already in heaven. It's the kingdom of heaven on earth. Then at the end of the age, the angels will come and separate the ones that get to go to heaven and the ones that go to hell. So we're talking about the kingdom of heaven on earth. You may say, well, I didn't know the kingdom of heaven was already on earth. Hey, we do a Bible study all about that. So ask the person that brought you and we'll teach you about the kingdom of God on earth. Basically, it's all the people that want to obey God's law, the scriptures, and worship the King, which is God or Jesus. Amen?
Yep.
That's the kingdom. You've got subjects of the kingdom, a law to be governed by,
right,
and the King himself.
Come on.
The kingdom of heaven on earth, Jesus is the King.
Yep.
This is his word, this is his law.
Right.
Who are the subjects of the kingdom?
Yeah.
Those who obey his law and worship our King.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Come on.
And you know, just to further the analogy here on earth, what do you do on earth when people don't obey the law of the land and don't serve the King, or in America, the government? What happens to those people that don't obey the law? Do they get to just live in the kingdom? No, they get taken out of the kingdom and put away in a separate place for the bad people, amen, that don't obey the law, and they take them out of society, and that's prison.
Yep, that's right.
You ever say, why would God create a hell? Why do we create a prison?
Come on.
People that don't obey the law, that are going to hurt society. So to protect society, we take them out, put them in prison.
Good point, bro.
That is hell. It's eternal prison.
Yep. Come on. Here you go.
God's going to have a society of people that love Him, that want to worship Him, that want to obey His laws, and if not, they're going to be separated out by the angels at the end of time.
Come on.
All kinds of fish in the net. Title of the lesson today, what kind of fish are you? What kind of fish are you? Open Acts chapter 24. Well, you know, in the end, that's all that matters is, are you a good fish or a bad fish? But we're going to get a little more specific here.
Come on.
And talk about a few different fish. Let's have some fun with this analogy that Jesus is bringing.
Come on.
Let me tell you about fish. Did you know there are over 25,000 identified species of fish and estimated 15,000 more fish species not yet identified?
Wow.
That's more species of fish than there are of amphibians, reptiles, birds, and mammals combined. There's a lot of fish out there.
Wow.
Amen?
Wow.
And there's some pretty cool fish. You know, some species of fish can fly. Flying fish. Now, really, okay, they glide. But they get that power and they hop out of the water and they glide through the air. That's a pretty cool fish to want to be, amen?
Yeah.
Other fish, they can skip along the surface.
Yeah.
So they're not confined under the water. They can hop out. Now that'd be cool, man. If I was a part of them, those guys, like, hey, watch this. On my back. You know, you're having fun. You see the guys just kind of playing around, having a little machismo going on over there, right? Amen. Do you know that there's also fish that can climb rock?
No.
I didn't know it for this past week either. Check it out. The spotted climbing perch is able to absorb oxygen and crawl over land to find water when its water hole dries up.
There you go.
That's pretty hot, man. Survival, baby. You better learn how to walk, fish. Get yourself up and find some water. Smallest fish is the Philippine goby. Full growth. Third of an inch, fully grown. Smallest fish. Largest fish, to my understanding, the whale shark. They get up to 50 feet long. All kinds of fish in the net, amen? And that means there's all kinds of people in the kingdom of heaven on earth. Amen. In the kingdom. We're not talking about those outside the kingdom. I mean, in the kingdom, there's all kinds, aren't there?
Yeah.
Just look around this room.
Oh.
We got all kinds. You know, Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
We don't want just one nation. We want all people to know the truth.
Come on, bro.
I got a question for you before we get into this. The world's largest lake trout was caught in Canada. How much did it weigh in at?
20 pounds.
Largest lake trout caught. Oh, you know the answer. Did you know? 102 pounds. Come on, Brittany. Prophesying about the fish weight. Come on. 102 pounds. We got sisters that don't weigh that much in here.
Whoa.
That's a big fish.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you imagine getting that one? That's a miraculous catch that day. Largest one. Fish number one.
Come on.
Fish number one, the blowfish. Are you a spiritual blowfish?
Okay, bro, come on.
You guys okay? I'm just asking.
Drive it. Come on.
It's also known as the puffer fish. And the reason is, whenever this fish feels threatened, it puffs up to twice its normal size by gulping water.
Come on.
So this fish is swimming along, doing its thing, and then something comes on up, maybe another fish, that threatens it.
Uh-oh.
What does it do? It's a defense mechanism. It's afraid. It feels threatened, so it... It gets prideful, defensive. It wants to get you back away from it. I hope we don't have any spiritual blowfish in the kingdom of God. Let's look in Acts 24. I think we've all been the blowfish from time to time. Acts 24. Verse 24. Now, Paul is in prison here, and he's coming before the governor to defend his faith. Because people have opposed him and persecuted him and brought false accusations against him, and therefore he's being held. Acts 24:24. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla. Well, here's some names for you, amen. She was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid or threatened. He said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I'll send for you." See what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Again, it's kind of like Jesus. You know, Paul imitated Christ, and he calls us to imitate him.
Yep.
So, Paul preached about faith in Christ, kind of like the kingdom is like a net full of fish. It's awesome. But then he gets on into righteousness. You better live right.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gets into self-control.
Right.
You need to make the right choices here, because then he gets into the judgment.
Yeah, come on.
That's what Jesus did in the parable. In the end, the fishermen are going to separate them fish out.
Yep.
Good and bad. Some are going to go to heaven. Some are going to go to hell. You may leave.
Yeah.
Know what I'm talking about here?
Yep. Yep.
That's exactly what was going on.
Come on, Chris.
And this isn't even in the kingdom. Okay? This is someone Paul was preaching to that was not yet in the kingdom. That was not yet in the net. But he got real blowfishy on him, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly right. He puffed up. And read on here.
Come on.
He said, "I'll send for you later." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for him frequently and talked with him. Let me tell you something else about the blowfish. It contains a poison. It's called tetrodotoxin. This poison is about 1,000 times deadlier than cyanide in the blowfish. There's no known antidote for the poison. Fugu, which is a Japanese pufferfish, is eaten in Japan. But it's only prepared by certain specialized chefs that can decrease the poison. Nevertheless, some have died from eating this dangerous delicacy.
Wow.
And maybe you're thinking what I'm thinking. What are they thinking?
Yeah.
If you know, is it that good? Is it that good to eat knowing you might die? Blood better taste good. I was preaching this to the teachers earlier, and Patrick Bouillet Jr. said, "Well, that's a good analogy for sin."
Wow.
Is it that good? Because it just may kill you. Wow. Whoa! It got quiet in here real quick just then. That's the way sin is. So, you see this puffer fish, not just does it get defensive, but it's got a real poison in it. And here you see Felix, not only did he send him away, but he wanted to coax him into a bribe so he could really put him in jail for a long time. You know, our defensiveness, our pride that really grows in us when we get that way with each other, it's poisonous.
Yeah, wow. Right.
It'll kill us, and it'll kill each other. It'll kill the church. That kind of defensive pride.
Come on.
What are you threatened by?
Preaching.
What threatens you? What gets you afraid? Are you more threatened by a person or by the truth that they're trying to teach you?
Come on.
If you're studying the Bible, don't be afraid of the person that's teaching you. It's the truth you need to be scared of.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times as disciples, when we want to go out and help the world, the bottom line is we need to teach them what Jesus taught them.
Yep.
We need to teach them what Paul taught them.
Yep.
What is that? That, man, there's going to be a judgment. And at the end of time, that's all that's going to matter.
That's right.
You're going to get to go to heaven.
Come on.
Or you're going to get thrown with a gnashing of teeth.
Come on, bro.
That's all that matters. And as we go out and teach that, you know what? You can be afraid of teaching that to people.
Yeah. Talk about
you can be afraid of being taught, but you can also be afraid of teaching.
Yeah.
You know, let me say, you ought to be more afraid of what's going to happen to people if we don't teach them and they don't repent.
That's right.
That's what we've got to get through our hearts and through our minds. What are we afraid of? The only thing the Bible says we're to fear is God.
That's right.
Anything else, it is sinful to be afraid. The Bible says, do not lust. We say, lust is a sin. I need to repent. The Bible says, do not lie. We say, lying is a sin. I need to repent.
Yep.
The Bible says many times, do not fear.
Wow.
Amen.
Well, fear is an emotion that I need to overcome. No, fear is a sin.
Wow.
And we need to repent of it.
Wow.
You try that on, that will change your life.
Right.
Let me give you this fact about the puffer fish. The puffer fish, when it gets all blown up, the Bible says when it's in its engorged state, kind of like me and Roger felt last night after taking Teresa out for her birthday at the Carmine's Ribs, engorged, you know. When the fish gets all engorged with that water, it can only travel at half its normal speed. Go ahead and get all offensive, get all prideful. All it's going to do is slow you down.
That's
right. Pride wastes our time.
Wow.
That's what it does. We could be so much farther along in our walk with God if we just get humble.
Amen.
But we can be so prideful. We can be that spiritual blowfish. You know, being on the mission team, it's been humbling for me.
Yep.
How about you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We've come here,
yeah.
This mission team, 32 people here to try to reach out and save the city of Chicago. We're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, we're just sinners.
Yeah.
But it's great being here because myself, I know my wife has expressed just realizing how far we've gotten away, how far we drifted from doing what Jesus called us to do,
yep.
Which is to go fish and save the lost every day.
Amen.
Just our daily fishing for men.
Yeah.
We were so far from where Jesus called us to be. So far from who Jesus was and is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Forget comparing yourself to somebody else. Look at the Bible.
Amen.
Look at how Jesus lived. So I want to be like Jesus. We got to be like Jesus. Fishers of men must go fishing.
That's right.
Yeah.
I've been humbled at where my focus was. One of the arguments I've heard, and I've heard this argument from evangelists, from church members, whole churches, I believe, are just really slowed down right now because they're very defensive. And here's the argument I've heard. I've heard an argument against laying our lives down for God and His mission to evangelize the world is because if we do, it will destroy our families.
Come on. Yeah. Preach on this
point. If we really lay our lives down and we go out and we're running all over the place trying to disciple each other, trying to evangelize, it's going to take us away from our families and destroy our families. Let me tell you, this permeates so many people.
Yeah,
yeah.
And if you're single and all fancy free, you wait. You will have this fear. It's a real fear.
Yep.
However, I have seen, because of this fear, so many disciples retreat into a cocoon with their families. And they are simply no longer determined to love others as they love themselves.
Yeah. Come on.
Preach it. Matthew 22:39. The pendulum has swung so far away from the compassion Christ had in our lost world.
Yep.
Last week we looked at John 21. I think it's such a great example how they fished all night long and Jesus let them fish all night long.
Amen.
They went out to fish for fish, get some food, and they're out there all night long and didn't catch a thing. Then in the morning, Jesus appears. And they have a miraculous catch.
Yep.
153 fish. How come Jesus didn't do that at 2 in the morning? How come He let them fish all night long? He could have come earlier. And many times in our lives, don't we want Him to come earlier?
Yeah. Come on.
How about moving here?
Come on.
We've all been through it, haven't we?
Yep.
How come we didn't get that miraculous catch of a house or job sooner? Why would Jesus be letting me out here all night and all day fishing for a house or a job?
Reason.
We wanted it sooner. They wanted this catch sooner. It came when Jesus brought it.
That's right.
Come on. Yep. Come on, bro.
It came when He brought it. And I believe He wants us to be out there fishing all night and all day.
Amen. Come on, bro.
And if your physical child was lost out there, you tell me you wouldn't be.
Come on.
Wow.
But our hearts get hard to the lostness of this world.
Yeah.
And we get defensive. And they fished all night long for fish. To catch food. Look at what people are willing to work all night for.
Yeah, come on.
People are willing to work all night for a job. The night shift.
Yeah.
They're willing to work all day. They're willing to go out and work all night long to try to catch them a woman or catch them a man.
Yeah. Come on.
They'll get all dolled up and head out there to the bars.
Come on.
And be fishing all night.
Yep.
For a love interest. How about just fishing for sin, for pleasure? All night. Education. We'll stay up all night long, do a paper. For our job. We'll stay up all night, all day. We'll work overtime. Why? For the paycheck at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I think Jesus wants us to work all night long to catch lost souls.
Come on. Come on, bro.
And before we start making excuses, well, if I really run around trying to, you know, make disciples and help people get to heaven, it'll hurt my family. I'm sorry, bro. Did you work 80 hours last week at your job? Let's talk about what the real deal really is. I've seen that, guys. We'll run around for other things. Well, here in the church, we've decided we want to run around for God.
That's right.
We want to win this world.
Amen.
We want to pour ourselves out. We don't want our families to be destroyed. We believe they won't be. We believe if we obey God as spiritual men and spiritual women, and we teach our children the same thing, there'll be a miraculous catch, and miraculously the nets or our families will not break under the strain.
Come on, bro.
Fish number two.
Come on, Chris.
Come on.
Don't be a spiritual blowfish.
Amen.
Fish number two. The flounder. Are you a spiritual flounder? Let me give you a definition. I can tell you're fired up about this lesson.
Come on.
Here, come on.
Flounder is a flat fish with a flattened body made for life on the sea floor. So is that where you are? Just laying down flat on the sea floor bottom. Forget those flying fish raising above the water. Forget skipping above the water or even walking on land, just laying flat on the bottom of the sea, baby. A flounder. Definition number two. To behave awkwardly, to have difficulties. Here's the, in a sentence. She is floundering in college. That's how the word's used. To make clumsy attempts to move or regain one's balance. To move or act clumsily and in confusion. Synonym. Blunder. A usually serious mistake typically caused by ignorance or confusion. Are you a spiritual flounder? 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
Come on,
bro.
How you doing, guys?
Come on.
Awesome,
you guys with me here?
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I'm a flounder and blowfish. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. If you don't want to be a spiritual flounder, here's a scripture for you.
Come on, bro.
It says here, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize.
Amen.
Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No! I beat my body and I make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize.
Come on.
Amen.
I believe so many are spiritual flounders.
Wow.
Because They're not running to get the prize.
Yep. Come on.
Wow. Come on, bro.
We're so distracted by other things. It's like the parable of the sower, where the thorny soil is choked out and unfruitful. Why? The deceitfulness of wealth, the worries of this world, and the desire for other things.
Come on.
And if you're not focused in any area of your life, you're going to be condemned to floundering around in it.
Wow.
If you're not focused at school, you're going to flounder. Your grades are going to be bad.
Yeah.
If you're not focused in your marriage, it's going to flounder.
Yep.
If you're not doing the things the Bible teaches you to be a good husband, to be a good wife, if you're distracted from that, you're bound to flounder around. In any area of life, in your job, in your career. Are you guys with me?
Come on, come on, here.
If you're not focused, you're like, man, I'm just floundering. You got to get this attitude that we're learning about in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to run to get the prize.
Yep.
I'm not going to be aimless
nope.
in my spiritual life.
Wow.
I'm not going to run at somebody beating the air in my spiritual life. I got to stay focused.
Yep.
You know, Satan loves to keep us busy. I heard an analogy once. The word busy. B-U-S-Y. Being under Satan's yoke.
Wow.
Satan doesn't mind you coming to church.
Okay.
Even claiming to be a Christian.
Okay.
Reading the Bible from time to time. But if he can just keep you busy with all kinds of other things, you'll flounder around and never achieve anything for God in this life. He'll just keep us busy with good things or with bad television, whatever. Just busy with distractions of life.
Wow.
And we're not focused on the prize. How about what we've all been going through moving here?
Come on.
Yeah.
Why do we come here? Why do we move? Because Chicago is such an awesome city?
Nope.
Do we move here because we'd just rather live here?
No.
Why do we move here? Our eyes on the prize.
Yep.
Yeah.
We want to go to heaven, and we want to help these millions of people out here go to heaven too.
Right, Mom.
When Roger and Tama were contemplating moving, one of the biggest concerns they had was their children, Joel and Brittany. Brittany's a senior in high school this next year. Joel was in college and on the basketball team. Brittany in volleyball at her high school. And they thought, you know what? If we go, I don't think the kids are going to want to do it. I don't think Brittany's going to. Roger's like, man, I really want to go, Chris. But Brittany's just not going to want to leave school. I said, well, bro, you know, maybe that's what she needs to do. Maybe she needs to get out on a mission team and know why she's out there and get around a new set of friends. And Roger's dream, because he was a part of a church here in Chicago. His dream's always been to come back and to retire here in Chicago, downtown, in the big city. Well, you know what? Brittany blew their socks off. When she finally found out about it, she was dying to go. Joel was dying to go. We're in a meeting with Kip and Elena in our house back in February. A group of people we called together to see about going on the team. And as we're having this meeting, I'm like, oh boy, how are Roger and Cameron doing right now? And Joel and Brittany with it. And I'll never forget, Cameron was so humble. When it was time to give feedback, she said, I just want to read you what Brittany leaned over and wrote on my page. Mom, can we please move? Can we please go? And they thought she's going to be the one saying, no, it's my senior year, volleyball, all my friends. No, we can't move. I don't know anybody. You with me here?
Yeah.
And then Kemma made sure and said all that to her to count the cost with her to make sure she knew what it meant to go.
Wow.
And after all that, you know what Brittany said? Kemma said, She came back and all she said was, but what about the 9 million lost souls? That's why we all moved here.
Come on.
Yeah. Right.
Yet we've all went through these struggles about jobs, homes. Is it going to happen? Some are still waiting for it to happen. But God's working. God's got that miraculous catch when it's time.
Yeah.
One thing that is going to slow us down is if we forget why we're here.
Yeah, that's right.
If we forget why we've come, then we'll really worry about where we're going to live. Like that really matters in the long run. We're going to live somewhere.
Yeah.
We're going to get a job. We're going to be all right.
Yeah.
If we remember why we've come here.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 4.
Come on, bro. Bring it.
If not, we'll just flounder around.
Come on.
We'll be condemned to flounder, worried about all the things of this life. Unless we stay focused on why we're here and why God has brought us here. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Says here, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you'll save both yourself, amen, and your hearers. And now we just read, staying focused on the prize.
Amen.
What do we want to do? We want to go to heaven.
Amen.
We want to make sure ourselves get saved. And then we want to make sure we're able to help others to be saved. But are you floundering in that?
Come on.
How are you doing in your life? And your doctrine? Because if you're floundering in your personal spiritual life and your doctrine, you won't be able to help others.
Right.
Many people are floundering spiritually because, as the definition said, they're trying to move forward, but they're confused. Are you confused about what your life ought to look like?
Come on.
Are you confused about what your doctrine, your belief, really is? If you lose sight of that, Satan wins.
Yep.
If you don't watch your life and doctrine closely, you will not persevere. You won't make it. And you won't save your hearers as well. Talk about our families. What do we want most for our children? For them to make it to heaven.
Yep.
So they've got to see mom and dad who are not confused about their doctrine.
Come on.
Their teaching. And who are not confused about living that out in life. Don't be a spiritual flounder. Fish number 3.
Come on, bro.
How y'all doing?
Come on.
Take a look over at Acts 20.
Come on,
we got a little bit more to do.
Alright, bro.
The shark. Are you a spiritual shark?
Come on.
Well, I hope not, right? Boy, if we were in the water right now and we heard there was a shark in the water, we'd want out, wouldn't we?
Yep.
Yeah, we talk all the time about 1 Peter 5, verse 8, where the Bible says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour.
Yep.
Resist him, standing firm in the faith. You with me here?
Come on.
Yeah.
If we heard on the radio, there's a lion loose from the zoo.
Come on.
Yeah, out in, what's the zoo out there? The Brookfield Zoo. Lion got loose. And it's headed down Roosevelt. And it's located somewhere near the Duncan YMCA. And church ends. How are you going to be headed to your car? Or the public transportation? No, really, really, really. I'm serious. Right?
Yeah.
You might just stay here until you hear the thing's caught.
Yeah.
So are we living self-controlled, alert lives because Satan is a lion looking to devour us?
Come on.
Yeah.
Or are we just walking through life?
Whatever.
Wow.
When there's a shark out there
Yep.
looking to get us. In Acts 20,
come on.
I think we're very often asleep, guys. And that's another reason we flounder spiritually. Because we don't believe the Bible. That there's a lion that wants to devour us. Wants to get us off our life. Off our doctrine. We got to get alert, guys.
Yep.
It says here, Acts 20, verse 20, 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of God's, the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. I know that after I leave, Paul talking here to the Ephesian elders, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So, be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning you, night and day, with tears.
Yes, come on. Come on, bro.
Why would Paul write such a thing? Why would he say such a thing? Our enemy, the devil, wants to rip us away.
Right. Yep.
He's like a lion.
Yep.
Even from your own number, men will arise.
Right.
And he calls them wolves. Well, in our aquatic analogy today, we're talking sharks here. We're talking sharks. Let me tell you about sharks. Sharks are everywhere. They live in waters all over the world, in every ocean, even in some rivers and lakes. Unlike bony fish, sharks have no bones. Did you know that? Their skeleton is made of cartilage, which is tough, fibrous substance, not nearly as hard as bone. There are many different species of shark that range in size from a person's hand to bigger than a bus. So sharks come in all sizes. You won't be able to recognize them just by the size. Although most sharks are about the same size as people. 5 to 7 feet. And see, that's okay. That's my size, all right? As long as we're on land, I got no problem with a shark. Let me at them. But in the water.
Come on.
And remember, in the analogy we're talking about today, we're in the water.
Yep.
And there are sharks everywhere.
That's right.
Paul says savage wolves will attack the church. Because it happens.
Yep.
Even from our own number. Sharks will come. Are you a spiritual shark? I hope not.
Come on.
Let me tell you about shark's teeth. Most sharks may have up to 3,000 teeth at one time. 3,000!
Come on.
Most sharks do not chew their food. They just gulp them down in big pieces. Their teeth are arranged in rows. Rows of teeth. When one tooth is damaged or missing, another takes its place. Most sharks have about 5 rows of teeth at any time. The front set are the largest and do the most damage and the most work. In shark attacks, many times the great white or the gray reef shark, when they turn aggressive before an attack, they'll arch their back and put their head back just so they can get a bigger bite when they hit you. That's a shark. You want to swim with one? There's this thing called a feeding frenzy. Occasionally, a group of sharks will attack a food source, like a school of fish. All kinds of fish. Kind of like the kingdom. It says, they'll attack it in a maniacal fashion. They will wildly attack the food and eat anything in the area, even each other, sometimes wounding or eating fellow sharks. That's a shark.
That's a bad day.
That's intense. Guys, I've seen this in the kingdom. I've seen it in the church.
Yeah.
And here we are. We're trying to live those lives God calls us to. We're trying not to be a spiritual blowfish. We're trying not to be a spiritual flounder. We're determined. I'm not going to be a shark, but I may be sitting next to one.
Come on.
You're looking around. Are you one? And let me tell you, I've known people in the past I never thought they would be, and that's what they turned into.
Wow.
It's up to the choices we make.
That's right.
One more scripture. Look at Matthew 10.
Come on,
Chris. Let's go back to Christ here.
Come on, bro.
Matthew 10. You're not getting tired, are you?
Come on.
Is that the fish? We got some good fish to talk about. Matthew 10, verse 18.
All right, bro. Come on. Come on, preach it.
I'm sorry, let's go 16.
Come on.
Jesus says to the disciples, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. And here's the words you've read before. Be on your guard. Against the devil? No, against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and the Gentiles. And we saw that earlier with Paul.
Yep.
Because he preached, other men persecuted him and brought him before the governor, Felix.
Yep.
Says here, but when they arrest you, you ready to be arrested, guys? Are you ready to be arrested?
Come on. Yep.
For what you're teaching?
Come on.
It says not if. Back then it says when they arrest you. Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That's incredible.
Come on.
So Jesus said, you know, I know I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. And he still sent them out.
Wow.
Man, well, that's so cruel. Guys, we live in a cruel world.
Yep.
And it's not cruel because God made it that way. It's cruel because we disobey God. God says, do not murder. But we have to live in fear of being murdered.
Yep.
Because people disobey God. And they murder for the craziest reasons.
Yep.
That's the world we live in.
Come on.
Okay, but not in the church. Even from your own number. Men will arise. Why would God create it that way? He doesn't want it to be that way, but He gives us free will.
Yep.
And some of us choose to make it that way.
Yep.
In the world, in the church. The only answer is for men and women to go out and to be different.
Yeah.
To be godly. To be spiritual. To live by righteousness and self-control. And to go out and to fish for other men.
Come on, bro.
That's where we go. But yeah, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
But the Bible says, don't be afraid of those spiritual sharks. Because I'm with you. And I'll protect you. And like the early Christian martyrs, if the worst comes and you lose your life, I got you in my hand.
Right.
And you'll be with me for eternity.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the end, there's only two kinds of fish. The good fish and the bad fish. I don't want to be a spiritual blowfish. How about you?
Nope.
You want to be a spiritual flounder?
No.
And we got to take a good look at our life and our doctrine.
Amen.
And make sure we're not. You want to be a spiritual shark?
No.
Then watch out for bitter roots to grow in you.
Come on.
That'll cause trouble and defile many. Here's a few other fish I thought you might like to hear about so that we won't be them. I don't want to be a largemouth bass. How about you? How about this one? This is a real fish. It's called the big mouth sleeper.
No.
I don't want to be that fish, amen? There's even a three-eyed flounder. You know, if you're a little different from a normal flounder. A lumpfish?
Oh, no.
Doesn't sound good. How about a clownfish? Here's a tonguefish. No, I don't want to be a tonguefish. And then there's one more that you don't want to be.
Come on.
You don't want to be the one that got away.
Wow.
Amen?
Come on.
Some of you here today, you're being asked right now, study the Bible, learn the scriptures. Learn about God's plan for your life. Don't be the one that got away.
Wow.
The one that didn't get caught. And some, you know, you study with people and they're eager. They want to learn. They're ready to jump in the net. Jump in the kingdom. Others are like that deep sea marlin. You may hook them, but they're out there just flopping around. You're trying to reel them in and you're just fighting with them as you fish for men. Amen?
Yeah.
I got a couple deep sea marlins right now I'm trying to pull on in. And I reel them in and they just swim the other direction. I'm like, oh, come on. But I still got them on the line. Amen?
Yeah.
So I'm going to hold on, but sit in the little hole there and try to catch something else. Amen. Let's talk about the good fish.
Come on.
Sisters, you can be an angel fish. Amen? Brothers, how about a kingfish, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Here's a good fish. Or a starfish. I still like that flying fish. But fish number four is in 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Come on.
I bet you money this is the one Anthony Franklin wants to be.
Okay, bro. I don't...
Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Okay, bro.
Verse 15. Don't worry, it's not a lumpfish, bro. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Amen?
Amen.
Sound pretty good, bro?
Yeah. That's
what you want. Amen.
Amen.
Last Friday night, Anthony was leading the Campus Teen Devotional, and he gave them the sword challenge. And he split them up in groups and gave them different things they had to preach about. He gave them 5 minutes to prepare and then 5 minutes to deliver the sermon.
Yeah.
So, fish number four is the swordfish, baby.
Oh,
the swordfish. It's a large game fish having a long, sword-like extension of the upper jaw that is used chiefly as a means of defense and attack. Come on, baby. So Anthony's just going to get the sword and just mount it to his upper lip. You know? So that he's never without it. He can defend and he can attack. You know? Not with himself, but with the Word of God. Amen? How about you? Are you a swordfish?
Come on.
Or are you trying to find your sword somewhere? You know, you don't want to be a swordfish that like broke its sword off. It's just got a nub right there. Because if that's there, you can't defend or attack.
Yeah.
Do you use the scriptures to defend the truth?
Come on.
And do you use the scriptures to attack the sin you see? In yourself, in your family, in your friends, and in your neighbors. It's the scriptures that are going to help us out and change our life. And fish number five. And this is the one I really want to put before you. It doesn't sound awesome. But after you've heard about it, I think you'll agree it is awesome. And that's the salmon. Not quite as cool as the swordfish. You know, that's what I think of Anthony's. I don't be a salmon, I'll be a swordfish. But there are some good things to learn from the salmon, amen? And we need all kinds in the kingdom. They're born in fresh water, and then they migrate to the ocean. So they're migratory creatures. And that's what Christians are, amen? We're just migrating. We're just traveling through. Amen? They get out there in the ocean, they begin to eat, they begin to grow. But then they return to fresh water to reproduce. Amen?
Yes.
What happens is the mother digs what they call a shallow in the gravel in a little stream, lays all these eggs. They grow up, they go down the stream, down the tributary, down the river, on out into the ocean. And they're out there in the ocean, and they're swimming, and they're eating and having a great time. Of course, there's sharks around. There's predators. There's danger.
Yep.
Something inside them says, this water is not my home.
Mm.
And they know they've got to set out on this journey. This upstream journey against the tide to get back home. And they do that to go back there and to lay their eggs. And it's amazing. Nobody knows quite sure how they find it. Because they go back and they've done studies that show 90% of the fish that are spawning in a certain area, in a certain stream, were born there. How do they find it? Some say it's their keen sense of smell. But you know, God has set eternity in the hearts of men.
That's right.
We know this is not our home. This is not the end. And so we got a journey to take.
Yeah.
It's upstream. We're going to face hazards, natural and man-made along the way, not to mention predators.
Yeah.
But they take this journey. And then when they get there, they spawn. It's pretty intense. 90% of the fish spawning in that stream, as I told you before, that's where they were born. In the species, in all the salmon species from the Pacific, the mature individuals will die within a few days or week after spawning. So lay those eggs, and then they'll die. Some species may survive to spawn again, maybe twice, maybe three times, but then they're going to die.
Yep.
Bottom line, the salmon knows the ocean water is not its home. Therefore, it sets out on this journey that when all is done, will cost it its life.
Wow. Mm. Come on.
But it knows it needs to get home.
Right.
And it knows it needs to be fruitful. Amen.
Yep.
In the end, when we get to heaven, what's going to matter? When we're standing there at the judgment, where the angels are going to separate the fish, good and bad. Remember that from the beginning?
Yep.
That thing that made Felix say, that's enough?
Yep.
I hope that's not your attitude today. I hope you're not saying that's enough. Because in the end, all that's going to matter is, do I get in? And when you turn around, who's there with you?
Yeah.
That you brought.
That's right.
That's going to be able to get in and be in heaven forever. So many people are floundering, lives broken, talents wasting, fires quenched, dreams dashed. They're tossed back and forth in great need of help. No notion of their purpose for living. So many people, when confronted by the word, will respond like those blowfish, threatened and defensive. I urge you to have hearts that are open, that are hungry to change.
Amen.
Then you'll see your wounds healing. You'll see your vision clearing.
Yep.
If you welcome the sometimes painful molding of God's hand, longing to be changed, begging to be called,
yep,
demanding nothing, and surrendering all, you will find yourself in the Master's hand, ready to be used by Him to help others. This world is not our home. We're on an upstream journey that when all is done will cost our very lives.
Yeah.
All that will matter, do I make it, and the people with me, do they make it? Thank you very much.
Yeah.